This morning, under consideration, is a lesson that I've entitled Pleasure, Happiness, and Joy. I'm pretty glad that Paul had the reading this morning of Ecclesiastes 2, because that kind of sets the idea and sets our tempo here, what we're going to talk about this morning. This is not a real long lesson, but as the more I studied it, it becomes very, very profound. And so I hope today you'll leave with maybe a little bit different sense of understanding of some of the things that you may read in the Scriptures. This comes from John, the 15th chapter. And so as we've continued along in our study, we've got to verse 9. And it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So my assignment this morning was this passage, especially about this greater love has nothing this than to lay down one's life for his friends. And in fact, as I got to studying, that's what most people tend to focus on in this passage. As I began to study and research and look, there's a lot of lessons on this particular passage. "This is my commandment," verse 12, "that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Maybe one of the reasons that we pick up on that is that's a very, very central point that Jesus is trying to teach. Remember, this is the last discourse that Jesus is ever going to give his disciples. And in fact, if you flip back a couple pages to John chapter 13, he said the same thing. He had already introduced this concept. And I believe it was Brother Terry that gave a lesson on this just a couple months ago. And so Jesus is now, I don't know if they're still in the upper room after the Lord's Supper, or maybe they've gotten up and they began the long walk to Gethsemane. I don't know, but it's somewhere during this night that Jesus is going to Gethsemane. He's already brought this point up once. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We get to John chapter 15, he circles back to it. And so now he's hammering this point home. And if you think about it, how poignant and how impressive that those words must have been. Because where are they going? Jesus is literally walking to his execution. He is walking to Gethsemane. He knows he's going to be arrested in just a few short hours. He knows that Calvary, the cross, is awaiting him in just a couple hours. And he makes a statement, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And so that's usually where people pick up and focus on this passage, and I understand it, because that is a very central point to Christianity. But for a little while this morning, I want to focus in on verse 11. John 15 and 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." We're going to talk about joy a little bit this morning. I got to admit, it's kind of embarrassing. I don't know that I've ever really thought my way through the word joy. We talk about it all the time, to be joyful, to be happy, and we start using these synonyms. And I don't know that they're really synonyms. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. You may recognize some of this. It took me a while to put it all together. Last time Brother Juan Rodriguez was here, he gave a lesson over joy. So I'm going to give you an assignment. Go back on the website sometime this week while this message is still fresh on your mind. 19th Street, churchofchrist.com. It's on the homepage. Scroll down until you find Brother Juan's lesson about joy, because that's where a lot of this comes from. And it kind of took me a while to put it all together. But I think I have a better understanding now of what joy means. So I sent Juan a text this morning and said, "Hey, I'm teaching this topic and I'm using your lesson." And he told me he wanted everybody to be told, "Hola." So there is Hola from Brother Juan. He wanted to say hello to everyone here. So we're going to talk about this idea of joy. What is joy? Are joy and happiness the same thing? And I'm going to tell you, they're not. They're not the same thing. And so when we leave here today, hopefully we'll have a little bit better understanding of the difference and the discrepancies between these words in the lesson that I've entitled, Pleasure, Happiness, Joy. Before we go further, though, let's go to God at this time in a word of prayer. You know, Americans are unhappy. I kind of did some study. There's a Harris poll from 2016, and it said only 31% of adult Americans claim to be happy. 31%. That's pretty low. Considering the world that we live in, man, we have more food than we know what to do with, more clothes than we know what to do with. Most of us have multiple vehicles and nice homes and jobs. 31% of Americans, that's it, claim to be happy. There's an even more recent, an NBC News poll from June 2020, just the last year. Only 14% of Americans claim to be very happy. And it said that's the lowest that this poll has shown in the last 50 years. So, of course, that's in the middle of the pandemic and everything was shut down, lots of problems. And so I got to thinking, well, 50 years ago, that would have been in the 70s. I wonder why people were so unhappy in the 70s. I don't know. It was a pretty good time for me. Of course, I was just a little kid. But I guess that was what Vietnam War. Lots of protest. Lots of social upheaval. Roe versus Wade had just been introduced. Shootings up at Kent State in Ohio where the kids were killed by the National Guard. Watergate. So I got to think it was probably pretty similar. A lot of social unrest, a lot of distrust of government. So people were apparently pretty unhappy back in the 70s as well. But I find that kind of interesting. You know, we are obsessed in our culture with being happy. In fact, even our Constitution guarantees that, right? It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that is something that is ingrained in our culture. We want to be happy. But what does it truly mean to be happy? Does that mean we're joyful? Is that the same thing? Are we excited? Elated? Do all those words mean the same thing? And I think we're going to see scripturally that it really does not. So again, John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you that your joy may remain in you, or that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now there's something that John picks up on here. And I can imagine John there, he's in the audience. He's in the crowd. He's one of the apostles following Jesus. And something must have really triggered John's mind here. This phrase, especially this idea about the fact that the apostles' joy needed to be full. Because he uses this phrase over and over and over. And I don't know that any of the other apostles ever used this phrase. In fact, John 3:29 uses it, John 16:24, John 17:13, 1 John 1:4, 2 John 12. All of these references come from the pen of the Apostle John. And so something must have really clicked in his mind. This idea, he kept going back to it, that we need to have our joy and our joy needed to be full. Here's a couple examples. Here's John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So we need to have a complete joy. It needs to be fulfilled. 1 John 1:4 says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So as I kind of step back and think about it, if he's thinking that the disciples, the Christians, need to have their joy filled, then that says we must be running on empty. Or at least, maybe we've got half a tank of joy. We don't have everything. Our joy is not complete. So it appears to me that Christians must have, for the most part, a partial measure of joy. Because this passage keeps coming back. Hey, your joy needs to be filled. You need to fill yourselves with joy. And I'm wondering if most people have enough joy in their lives. Do the Christians, do we have joy? Or are we content with happiness? Or do we just have pleasure in our lives? And that's what we're going to talk about. Let's dive into a little bit deeper understanding of this word. So I got a little chart here I started making for us. Here are my three words. Pleasure, happiness, and joy. So what is pleasure? Well, Paul read it this morning. Did you hear what Solomon said? This was Ecclesiastes 2, Did you read what he heard, what he said? Verse 10. Solomon says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. He says, pleasure was good. He says, I didn't turn back on anything that was pleasurable. But what was the conclusion of the matter? What did Solomon finally realize about everything that was pleasurable? Well, he said, it's vanity. He says, all of it's worthless. He says, the poor man, the rich man, the fool, the wise, they're all going to die just the same. So there's this concept of pleasure. And there's a lot of folks in the world that I think are confusing the words pleasure and happiness. They want to be happy. They want to be joyful. And the way they think they need to do that is to have pleasure in their lives. But I don't think that's quite exactly what pleasure is meant for. Let me tell you, pleasure is fleeting. Pleasure is fleeting. Hebrews 11 and 24, talking about Moses, this is a great verse, says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, pleasure, anybody can find pleasure. I mean, anybody can find that. It's fleeting, it's temporary, it's a quick fix. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with finding things that are pleasurable. I like to go to Henry's Diner, and I like that big old orange chicken fry. There's not much anything better in the world than an orange chicken fry from Henry's. And I'm going to have pleasure. It's going to be instant gratification. That's my pleasure. Megan said hers was chocolate. It's going to be instant. It's going to be instant gratification. But you know what? It's fleeting. I can eat that Henry's chicken fry, and it's going to make me feel pretty good, and I'm going to find pleasure in it. And a couple hours later, you know what? I'm going to want another Henry's chicken fry because it just doesn't last very long. Pleasure, you see, is physical in its nature. It's a fleeting thing. It's physical. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But what happens is, it's not going to last very long. So you're going to have to find something else to find pleasure in. And so that has a tendency to lead us, especially those that kind of have that addictive personality, you're always looking for that next pleasure. You're always looking for that next fix. Anyone can find pleasure. The most vilest sinner that you can think of can find pleasure in the world. I think about these guys like the old Charlie Mansons of the world, just evil as can be. They can find pleasure. They can find something that brings them a little bit of enjoyment into their life. But folks, that's not happiness. And it is certainly not joy. Pleasure can be attained by anyone at any time, but it's fleeting. It's temporary. It produces a physical response. Not all pleasure is sinful, but there's a constant desire to always have this immediate sense of euphoria. And that's why we get ourselves into trouble with addiction and things like that. We just always want what is next. Pleasure is the source. Here what's written in 1 John chapter 2 about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Okay, that's pleasure. Fleeting, it's physical. Anyone can have pleasure. Okay, what about happiness then? Well, let me tell you, happiness is an emotion. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Happiness, it can be caused by who we are around, what we are doing. It's circumstantial. It's emotional. Let me give you an example. Sonora Lady Broncos are up by 1 point with about 2 seconds left. The ball comes to Erin. She squares her shoulders up. She takes that little 10-foot jump shot as the buzzer sounds. Swish. The basket is made. Aaron's team wins. Everyone is going crazy. They're mobbing Aaron at the center court. Is that happiness or is that joy that I'm feeling? That's happiness. See, it's based on a circumstance. It's based on a situation. And I'll tell you how to tell if it's happiness or joy. What happens if the situation changes? What happens if Aaron's jump shot goes up, it's perfect, and she airballs it by about 3 foot, the ball bounces around, and the Lady Hawks lose? Would I have that same feeling of elation? Would I be jumping up and down,
chanting Aaron's name? No. See, that's happiness because it's circumstantial. It's what goes on. It's who you are around. Happiness can change like that based on your circumstances. It's emotional. Happiness is emotional. It's not physical. It is an emotional feeling. A couple times each year, Megan will take the kids and they'll go to these volleyball tournaments and they'll be gone all day long. I'm going to tell you, I'm not real happy during that time. I don't like it. But you want to know how to turn my sadness into happiness? Is I see that little red car turn into the driveway. And then all of a sudden, my circumstances have changed. And there's an emotional feeling. And that's where happiness comes from. Happiness, you see, is an emotion. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to be happy. I'm telling you, it's not wrong to be sad. Because those are emotions that we have to deal with. But I think a lot of people have things mixed up. They've got it in their minds that as Christians, we're supposed to be insulated from everything bad that's happened in our lives, and we're supposed to be happy all the time. Christians are supposed to be happy. And I really don't know that that's the right way of saying that. You know, even the writers of the New Testament, the translators, they had a little bit of problem with this word, happy. There's an example found in James. It's James, the fifth chapter. I'll read it to you real quick. James, the fifth chapter, verse 11. If you go to the old King James Version, it gets to James 5 and 11, and it says, let me find it here. Indeed, we count them happy who endure. He said happy. But then the new King James Versions, they started changing the word happy to blessed. But I think they saw that there was an issue. It's not so much being happy, because happy is emotional. So when we are challenged with something, it's not that we're happy about it, because that just doesn't quite make sense. I'm afraid too many people, and I will tell you this, anyone can be happy. Anyone can be happy, because it depends on their circumstances. Who they're around, what they're doing, where they are, where they're going, can bring in this emotional lift of happiness. But I'm afraid too many people are chasing the wrong things trying to be happy. Because they're trying to find something emotional. They're trying to something make their circumstances better so they can be happy. But what happens as soon as those circumstances change? You're no longer happy. I'm afraid that's why so many religious groups in the world, I'm afraid they're chasing this concept of church is supposed to make us happy. It's supposed to make us emotional. And they're really confusing the word emotional and spiritual. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of, I mean, it takes on a rock concert feel for a lot of churches. It takes on a sporting event kind of feel with you know, with smoke cannons and bright flashing lights and loud thumping music, because that attaches to our emotional side. And so many folks, I'm afraid, are confusing emotional with spiritual. And you want to tell the difference? Take all that stuff away. Take all that away. Take away the flashing lights. Take away the loud music. Take away the smoke cannons. Take away all of that and see if you still have the same feeling when you attend services. Because now we've stripped it back down. So was it emotional or was it spiritual? I'm afraid a lot of people are looking in the wrong spot when it comes to that. We need to be careful of that. We don't necessarily want to be happy, because we're going to have bad stuff happen to us. In fact, there's an age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people? How many times have you heard that question or had somebody ask you, man, I'm doing everything right. I'm a Christian. I read the Bible. I pray. I go to church. Why are bad things happening to such good people? Because that's life. That's why. It's just life. Bad things are going to happen to good people. We're not going to be happy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Could you not reword that question as, why am I unhappy if I'm such a good Christian? Why, if I'm a good person, why am I unhappy? Because we have changed the word from happy, joyful, not the same thing. We are supposed to be joyful as Christians. I don't know that we've ever been told that we're going to be happy. Because happy is emotional. Happy is circumstantial. And it depends where you are, what we're doing, whether or not you are happy. Simply put, Christianity does not insulate behaviors from this negative emotion. We're not always going to be happy. But I believe we should be always joyful. So now let's talk about joy. While happiness is an emotion, joy is a learned behavior. And it's something that is eternal. See, joy never goes away. Joy is something that we have to make a conscious decision. We have to mature to the point that we can say that we are joyful. Joy should always be a part of our lives, regardless of our situation, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what is happening to us physically, regardless of what is happening to us emotionally. You see, joy is something that's on a much, much deeper level. Joy can share space with other emotions. Thought about that? Joy can share space with other emotions like fear, sadness, anger, or even unhappiness. We can be unhappy yet still be joyful. And I think that's the part that a lot of the world has missed. They want this immediate physical or emotional feeling of euphoria to be happy. And if they're unhappy, then I'm turning my back on the church. I'm turning my back on God. This is not what I signed up for. But that's the wrong attitude. We can be unhappy yet still be joyful. Because it's on a much, much deeper level. It is on a spiritual level. So joy is a spiritual level. This spiritual virtue, though, can only be attained by certain people. It can't be attained by anybody. It can only be attained by those that walk in the Lord, that walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And as Christians, we are commanded to be joyful. You might also see it in the verb form where it says to rejoice. We are to rejoice. We are to be joyful even when common sense tells us that we should not be. And that is the difference. That's what separates joy and happiness. Joy is a learned behavior, whereas happiness is a reaction. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. We are commanded to be joyful as Christians. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Even in the sense of great affliction, even in the face of turmoil, of problems, of risk of death, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, these Christians were joyful. Now, do you think they were happy when someone was beating down their door, pulling them out in the street and giving them lashes for being Christians? Do you think they were happy? I don't think so. But were they joyful? Because joy is something different. Joy is on a much higher level. So I told you, we have to be spiritually mature to find true joy. And that's why John talked often about we need to make our joy full. Because I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians, immature Christians, myself included, who walk around and their tank's not full when it comes to joy. And that's something that we have to learn. It's something we have to mature to. It's something we have to train our mind to. Because it's not this fleeting feeling. It's not this physical or emotional feeling. It is on a spiritual nature. We're going to read here in a second. It's actually considered a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something that's much, much more difficult to attain. It's not something that happens overnight. And that's why John kept writing, we need to have our joy filled. So here we go. I pulled some out of ones. Joy is a consequence of faith. Because we have faith in something that's going to come. We have faith in a home in heaven. We have faith that Jesus is going to do what he said to do. Lack of faith or worrying ruins our joy. Because now we begin to question things on a spiritual nature. Happiness does not produce joy. Think about that for a second. Happiness does not produce joy, but hope, and faith and grace do. Because we have hope. We have hope in something that no matter what this world throws at us, we don't have to worry about the emotional part of things. We're on a spiritual level now. We have hope, and therefore we can have joy. Romans 15 and 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you in all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is going to fill us with hope and joy and peace. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us. That is completely and totally irrelevant. We don't have to worry about the emotional side. We're worried about the spiritual side. Brother Juan also taught, joy is based on obedience. He used the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch did what he was told to do. He was baptized there by Philip. Acts 8 and 39. "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more." And what the eunuch did? It says he went on his way rejoicing, because he had obeyed what he had been told to do. Juan also taught us, joy can overcome affliction. Joy can overcome affliction. That's what puts us on such a higher level. Because when affliction comes our way, we're certainly not going to find pleasure in it. And we're not going to find happiness in it. But yet as Christians, we are commanded to find joy. Because we have hope in something greater, something far better. Finally, where there is forgiveness, there is joy. And we need to remember that we have been forgiven. And because of that, we should have such great joy, knowing that there is something on a spiritual plane that's greater than anything that we have here on this world, on this earth. So I have a question for you. Can a joyful person still be unhappy? And to that I say, yes. Because joy can share space with other emotions. You can be joyful and be sad. You can be joyful and have fear. You can have joy and have anger. You can be unhappy and be joyful. Because joyful is on such a higher level. It's how we handle things. It's on a spiritual level. But we're still going to have to face emotions. Because emotions are just built into our life. Even Jesus at a time said he wept over the death of his friend. We can be sad. We can be angry. But yet, we are still joyful. Pleasure? That's the lowest end of all of this. Happiness, remember, happiness is a physical reaction. An emotional reaction. Pleasure is a physical reaction. Happiness is an emotional response. Joy is a spiritual response. So with that definition in mind, let me read a couple verses here to you. And as we close our lesson, see if it makes you think about it a little bit differently now. Galatians 5 and 22. Says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So as we look at these, often called the fruit of the Spirit right here, these virtues, are these things that happen overnight? As soon as we come up out of the waters of baptism, do we all of a sudden have complete self-control? I think we know the answer to that is no. It's things that take time. It takes maturity. It takes experiences. And that is just the way joy is. It is not a physical or an emotional response. It is a spiritual response. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And the only way we're going to get it, we have to live in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. And in doing so, we can then have joy. What about James 1, 2 and 3? "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." You know, for years I've thought, man, that is a weird verse. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be excited when bad things happen to us. No, that's not what it means. Have a little bit clearer picture of it now. He says, count it all joy. He doesn't say, hey, be happy when bad things happen to you, because it's not happiness. He says, count it all joy. Because knowing that there's an end to all this. There's something good that's going to come from all of this. It's going to make us stronger Christians. It's going to make us better and more Christ-like. And that's where the joy comes from. 1 Peter 1 and 8. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. It's kind of the same concept, right? We're supposed to rejoice even though we have these various trials. Now, I love this part down here at the bottom. We used to sing this song a long time ago. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We used to sing that song, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, that's what that means. When trials come our way, it doesn't mean we're supposed to be happy and excited and so thankful that we have trials, but we are to have great joy. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, rejoice always. Even in the bad times, even in the good times. When things are going our way, rejoice. When things are not going our way, rejoice. It has nothing to do with anything that's physical. It has nothing to do with anything that's emotional, because rejoicing and joy have to do with what is spiritual. So the rest of that, it's all irrelevant. It's all a moot point. We are to find joy. I have one more thing to show you as we close our lesson. You know, as a teacher, I get to see what all these kids are coming up with. And I've seen this coming up the last couple of weeks, I guess. I don't know who started this. I'm sure I'll hear about it in a little bit. I'm sure it's a TikTok video or something. I don't know. But the kids have been writing this little. I don't want you to be scared if you see this. It looks like this. So I don't know if you've seen that or not. I don't know if that kind of worries you or anything. Don't worry, it's not gang-related or anything. That's been my first thought. But what this stands for, what the kids say is that God is greater than the ups and the downs. So I don't know where that came from. God is greater than the ups and the downs. And I got to thinking about that. That's because of joy. You see that that's kind of a definition of joy? God is greater than the ups and the downs because God is not dealing on a physical pleasure level. God is not dealing on a happiness or a physical level. The reason we can say God is greater than the ups and the down is because He is dealing on a joyful, spiritual level. And so the ups and the downs shouldn't make any difference to us if we are spiritually minded. Do we have a different idea of the word joy? Is joy the same as happiness? And the answer is no. It's on a much higher level. That concludes the thoughts I've had for this morning, though. We never like to close, though, without having a song of invitation. If we can help you in any way, we stand ready to assist you at this time.